Yes, hi.
Hi, this is Kit.
Hey, Kit the Diva. Thanks for calling in. You're live in Full Circle Movie Talk. Of course, you're speaking to me, Sean Weathers, and also my partner in crime here, Aswad East, and my producer in a lot of my projects, and also my co-host for this talk show. Thanks
hi.
For calling in. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine, thank you. How are you?
Good. So you're playing the character of Ebony Sade in Tortured by Regret, is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay, cool. Why don't you tell us a little bit about the character you're playing, since the people out there don't really know much about the Sade character.
Well, Ebony is a little girl who's been around the block and then some working in New York City. She has two little girls who she's trying to raise and wants the best for. She also loves to shop. You know, she loves money. She's a greedy kind of a woman, and she loves sex. So sex and money goes hand in hand for her.
Yeah, that goes hand in hand for a lot of people. I could categorize most of our society, including myself. So, yeah. So, for those of you who don't really know what Kit looks like, she is, I think I was briefly describing her as a MILF, but, I mean, she is the MILF to the nth degree, short little girl, maybe about 5'3", 5'4", or so.
5'3". Mm-hmm.
5'3", very, very tight body. You couldn't be more than, 105, 110 pounds or so?
I'm 110.
One time, okay. But the thing that really is the kicker with her is the curves. Oh my God, does she have some curves? I mean, the talent there is just unbelievable in the body. But you've got the black girl booty without like the huge size, which is amazing. You know, you've got like that J-Lo type derriere there going on.
Oh,
wow, thank you. I've never been said J-Lo, but you know what? I'll take that. I like the fact that it's all natural, no implants, no jelly shots, no nothing. You know, it's a beautiful thing.
That's what's up.
Yes, it's a beautiful thing indeed, you know. And being the character who plays Tracy in the movie, Tracy Spencer, who happens to buy the services of Ebony Sade, that is a scene I will tell you I'm very much looking forward to shooting, you know.
yes, that is one of the scenes I'm looking forward to.
Okay, hey, that makes two of us. That's a beautiful thing. So.
That makes three of us.
So why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself? I mean, you know, what type of stuff have you been doing in the entertainment field, et cetera?
Well, I got a late start in the industry, but I've been on book covers. I recently shot for Tear Sheet magazine down in Atlanta, Georgia. I have done some backup for Michael Blackson.
Backup meaning singing, you say?
The comedian Michael Blackson.
Oh, okay.
Michael Blackson. No, not Jackson. Yes. No, correction. Yes. The African comedian. And I've also did some catalogs and some runway work. And also, I've been pretty busy.
Mm-hmm. Cool. What was the magazine you said you shot for?
Tear Sheet magazine.
Tear Sheet. Okay, cool.
Yes.
Cool. Wow. She's definitely doing the modeling thing here.
Yes. Modeling is something that I love because I love the camera. But I also love acting.
Okay.
You know, life itself is, to me, is one big stage.
Mm-hmm.
So at some point or another, we're all acting.
Yeah. Absolutely. Cool. So what made you said that you got like kind of a late start into it. What was some of the reasons or some of the factors that got you into acting and modeling and doing all the things that you do?
You know, at some point in time, there was a standard as what it is that Hollywood and the entertainment industry was looking for as far as, like, your height, your weight, you know, your look, or you're too dark, you're too light, or your hair's too short, or it's too kinky, or it's too straight. It was just, like, always all these knockdowns. Mm-hmm. And that sort of kind of pushed me back. Mm-hmm. And then one day I just woke up, I'm just like, you know what, I can do this. I'm a confident, I'm strong black woman. I feel like I can do anything I put my mind to.
Right.
And I just set off. I went out. I paid for my first photo shoot, and it was great. I was nervous.
Mm-hmm.
It came across in the photos, but I'm a fast runner. They told me exactly what I need to do and what not to do, and I've been off and running ever since.
Cool. How long have you been like modeling and acting and stuff?
Exactly 10 months.
Wow. Okay. So, yeah.
That's why I'm determined. Yes. I'm kicking the door down. I think in my bio I say that. I hope the world is ready for me because I am here.
Definitely. You sound like you've been in the industry for a lot longer than 10 months. Wow. Yeah. So what were you into before you started modeling?
Well, before that, I worked for a telecommunications company, you know, doing the 9-to-5, punching in the numbers and, you know, data entry.
Mm-hmm.
I worked with a VP, actually, and that was the fun part of it when I had to do public relations, going out meeting, you know,
mm-hmm.
shaking hands with the president, you know, and hobnobbing and rubbing shoulders with the mayors of New York City and stuff. So, you know, I had my share of different life experiences, and, you know, I had a great time. And, you know, prior to that, you know, I used to, shake a leg.
Shake a leg? Well, what's that? What's that mean? Shake? You were dancing?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Wow. How long did you dance for?
On and off for about 5 years.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And the money is good. You know, that's why I can relate to Ebony, you know, to the character, because, you know, you do get addicted to the money.
Really?
Yes, you do get addicted to the money. I mean, you got all this money coming into your hands
mm-hmm.
on a constant basis, and you spend it just as fast as you get it. And that's the problem with the fast money.
Mm-hmm. That's been a certain topic of debate on our radio show before, because we have had girls, because in our projects there is a certain amount of nudity. So there, it does open the door for not just actresses and models, but also girls who have done some exotic dancing and stuff like that before. And the level of money that is able to make from exotic dancing has been a certain, you know, topic of debate. Like, how much can you really make doing that stuff? Because we've had girls who've told us they make, like, these, you know, like, thousands of dollars a night. And it just seems like it's hard to believe you can make that much money every night, you know? And
well, you know what? You don't make that much money every night. I mean, on the contrary to what everyone may believe, from the old school, so to speak. Now we call it old school because for me, back in the days, you know, it's, to me, stripping is old. Now girls get excited over $100 rain shower, like $100, $1 bills being rained on you. What is that? Baby, that's not no money. I mean, back in the days, I honestly believe that there was more money. Yeah, you got the more rappers and things, and it nowadays trying to glorify it. But at the end of the day, you're not making, to me, more money than the girls back in the days used to make.
You
Why?
Say, like, back in the day, how what like what time frame are we talking? Like 90s, 80s? What are we talking here?
The 90s.
90s. Okay. Yeah.
Mhm. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
in
it's
90s.
Fun. It's funny because a lot of people, like, they really do throw out, like, dollar signs. Like, yeah, I'm making $1,000 a night. I'm making $10,000 a week. We talk about this a lot. It just seems to be, like, very hard to believe. I mean,
I don't know one stripper who I've ever talked to who have made $10,000 in a weekend. Really? Okay. Really?
We have the voice of truth on the phone, finally.
And, you know what? They make it seem like they make that much more money to make it seem like it's something that you should get into, and this is why they're doing it, because of all the money that they're making.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not always, that's not always the case. You make it a night or two or maybe a weekend. We got a bunch of ballers coming and spend that much money. But every night you're not making that much money as a stripper.
Another question.
Yeah, that's kind of been like the assumption I've made is like they will talk about the one night they made a lot of money and make it seem like that night is every night, you know, and then
no, that night is not every night.
Yeah.
Because not every night you're gonna have a baller in the club. Not every night the club is gonna be filled with, you know, a lot of patrons. So no, it's not an every night thing that happens. I mean, that's just reality.
Mm-hmm. And don't you have
like,
to like?
Sean, another question. Just as far as like, you know, like since you seem very honest, what are some of, like, in terms of getting into dancing, like, for me, I'm like, wow, like, what are some of the factors, or what are some of the things that you would, I mean, is this something people would grow up and say, okay, I want to be a dancer, or were there, like, factors that led you into, to, like, you know, making those decisions? Like, what was your thought process that said, okay, tonight I'm going to go to a club and see if they have any availability to be a dancer?
See, well, my case is totally different. Well, not from everyone, but my case is I would say, is different from some of the girls, because I wasn't forced into it, but I did it for survival, basically.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I ran away from home, and, you know, my girlfriend was like, hey, try this, and, you know, and the money was good. And I was like, oh, okay, I can pay rent, I can buy food, I can buy clothes, ooh, I got extra money. So, you know, mm-hmm. that was my whole thing. And then after, like I said, you get caught up in it, it's like, oh, the money is good, you know, it's tax-free, and the money is coming in. A lot of girls nowadays that I realize is that they get into it because they're like, oh, I want to be a pole dancer, oh, I want to make my booty clap. You know, they look at it like, you know, this is the thing to do. To be a stripper
right.
is the thing to do. And
right.
that's, in my opinion, is not the case, because at the end of the day, you look at yourself and it's like, ugh, you'd have been pawn, touch, squeeze, God knows what else, you know, you probably went out on dates. How do you really feel about yourself at the end of the night? How do you really feel about yourself at the end of the day? Yeah, you may be going out to feed your kids, or like to keep a roof over your head, or anything, or whatever. But if you're putting yourself through school and you're trying to better yourself, that's one thing. But if you're out there just because, you know, oh, being a stripper, you're a point blank lazy bitch, and you feel like this is what you need to do,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to getting a real job,
mm-hmm.
or I can't work at McDonald's, or that's not enough money, you're above this, that, and the third, whatever, boo-boo.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's you. And I don't knock strippers. You know, I could have got a lot of friends who are strippers. I go and I patronize strippers. Like, I go to strip clubs. I don't have anything against it. But
mm-hmm.
don't glorify it and make it seem like, oh, this is the thing to do. And if you're not a stripper, then, you know, you ain't cool or whatever. Please.
Right. Cool. So really, it was just like, you know, a method of survival is what you're saying.
For some, it's a method of survival, like mm-hmm. for myself. And for others, it's, mm-hmm. you know, entertainment, and they get off on it. Like, they love it, and they crave the attention and the money.
And what are some of the other, like, vices that you would see, like, stripping leading to? Like, do you think it leads to drug addiction or...
Drugs, alcohol, sex, you know,
mm-hmm.
because sex is an addiction. And, yeah, stripping and dancing can lead to a lot of those things, because, first of all, you get there, you're not really confident to get up on stage. Oh, now you need the courage juice, or the courage sniff, or the courage, you know, toke some weed, you know, to give you that boost. All right, I can go out there and do this now. So, and then that becomes a habit, and you're
mm-hmm.
doing it every day in order to get there. And then it's like you don't need to do it, but you're doing it anyway.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So yes, you can get addicted to any and everything when you're stripping, even other women.
Really?
That's not a bad thing, is it? Now, you've told us, like, specifically what got you into it. You ran away from home and you needed money, and a girlfriend told you, okay, you can do this. Is there any specific instances that made you say, okay, I'm not going to do this anymore? Because based on how you're talking, I'm assuming you're not doing this anymore.
No, I'm not doing it anymore. I had told myself, girl, you're better than this. You know,
mm-hmm.
you can...
Was there anything specific, though, that happened, or any specific instances that happened, and you're like, I need to change my life, I need to get out of this? Was there anything, you know, that triggered that?
You know, I... What happened, the eye opened up for me, I guess, because, like I said, I was feeling irresponsible at that point, because you're just stripping, you're just having a good time, and just think life is grand because you're just getting all this money or whatever have you. And I didn't really have any real responsibilities. So at that point in time, I was staying with a family member. And, you know, I think I woke up late one day. Oh, I was laying in the bed. No, I was laying in the bed, and she was up already, and she was talking about me.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that made me feel some kind of way.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I couldn't get my own apartment again at that time because now I need to show income, where my money is coming from. Yeah, I got the money, but where's it coming from? Of course, stripping is off the books. So I had been staying with her at the time, And I was like, girl, you need to change your life around. You know, you got people sitting around talking about you. You know, you got to get yourself back on track. You know, you got a child that you need to take care of. What are you doing? And, you know, and that was, and he was one of my main factors is because I wasn't really seeing him like I wanted to. You know, I was one of those mothers coming in, dropping some money. Oh, okay, all right, yeah, you can go, auntie, I'm going. And at some point in time, you have to wake up and say, you have a responsibility. This is your responsibility. You run around here like you don't have anything to do or take care of, but you do. You have a child.
Mm. Wow.
And did you have that child before you started dancing or while you were dancing?
Let me calculate. Wow.
Wow. Okay.
Now, and it was my baby daddy, who's no longer around. You know, he got killed early on in life of my son's life, but, you know, I survived, you know,
oh.
I raised my child, you know, sometimes it's hard to raise a man as a woman, but, you know, I think I did a pretty good job considering, but it helped to be a tomboy, you know, and be raised by men.
Wow, stories of overcoming the odds and everything on today's show.
is there any other thing you want to? I mean, it sounds like you've overcome a lot, like Aswad was alluding to. Is there anything else that like we should know, or you would like your fans or the audience listening to know? Because it's like this sounds like a pretty, you know, sob story, and it could be like a great rags to riches, or you know, a great story to have. But is there anything you're leaving out that, like, would enhance this story at all, or is this all there is that happened?
Well, Kid the Diva, I would have to say, is a survivor.
Mm-hmm.
She has come through, look, as I talk about myself in the third party, I'm not crazy, people, but coming from such a sordid past, you know, from child abuse, from, you know.
Okay, so
there was
child
school.
Abuse as well, you're saying.
Oh, yeah, you know. That was one of the reasons I ran away from home. I mean, you know, coming from such a hard background and, you know, living such a hard life and to be standing here with my health, with my body, you know, and with my looks and my
wisdom.
And
a hell of a body, I'll say that.
Thank you. I mean, I've survived some of the worst ordeals in my life. And to be able to stand here and say that I'm here, world, look at me. You know, it can be done. Like for all the people, the young ladies or the little boys who's going through or have ever went through any type of abuse, I would like to say that I can stand here and say that you can survive. You know, it's not the end of the road. It's all about having faith and putting your mind to having a goal and putting your mind to and saying, you know what, I'm going to do this. I'm going to be somebody, you know, and not just, don't just say it, mean it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So.
From child abuse to full circle, man. That's
Where did
that's
you
born? Right.
Are you born and raised in New York?
I was born in Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where I get my little, you know, my etiquette from. But I was raised basically in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I got my experience from. Oh, so the Big Apple is not too bad, you know. I mean.
Mm-hmm.
It has a shady character.
So did you actually lived in Alabama?
I lived in Alabama, yes I did. I was born down there, and I was brought up to New York City, and I stayed in New York City for, I think they had us up there for 4 years, and we went back down to Alabama, and I stayed down there for another 3 years, and then came back to New York.
Okay. Cool.
So New York City is you know, that's will always be my home. Right now, I'm currently in Atlanta, Georgia, but New York is now going to be currently my second home.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Wow. All right.
It's been a hell of a conversation with you, Kit. You know,
yeah.
You're always interesting, always colorful,
mm-hmm.
And again, I have to say I'm very much looking forward to shooting our scenes together, you know, and rehearsing them. So,
I'm looking forward to working with you. I'm very excited about the script.
Awesome, awesome. Well, Miss 36D2836, very, very talented.
Very inspiring, very smart.
Very, very, yeah. Rex or Richard, yes. You know, type thing going here. Mm-hmm. Hopefully we'll be part of your stepping stone to where you want to go, and you'll take us along for the ride. You'll take...
Exactly.
You know,
I got a lot of things going, and, yeah, I will definitely keep you in mind with, you know, all my other projects.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely, absolutely, you know. We will ride you and Tortured by Regret to the top if you make it there and we don't. And you could ride us to the top if we make it and you don't, and vice versa. So, but yeah, thanks for calling in. And, you know, obviously we're going to be in touch as we rehearse and we shoot, mm-hmm. et cetera. And, you know, it's been good talking with you.
Yes, it has. It's been a pleasure. Thank you so much, Sean. Thank you for the opportunity.
No problem.
Have a good one.
All righty, Kit.
Okay, take care.
Bye.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye.
Kit the diva there.
Stories of survival.
Yeah.
Buddy has
absolutely.
A story. That's a lot. She went through a lot more than I did. I mean, as far as her, you know, coming from where she came from to being able to talk about it with, I guess, any state of mind.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot to overcome.